Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Reginald Walker, sir, great to have you with us.
Great to be with you, Steve. Yes, the chill and the rain is here, but one thing I do know, it does not compare to the cold and worse than rain, if you will, that State College may get out of these.
So I got to ask you here. I've talked earlier with a couple of other people. UCLA's been, they cleared the hurdle. Now everybody can move forward. UCLA knows it's going to the Big Ten. California Board of Regents knows they're going to get a little bit of money out of it, probably. And the Pac-10 can now move forward. In the end, what do you think of all this?
Well, I think the tradition of what college football has been in the regional rivalries, I think is very, very important. I was at an event last night, and I was talking to a college athletic director. I won't dive too deep into it, but one of the things that we talked about was, his school is moving into a new conference, and right. He was saying that, you know, they're trying to create that regional rivalry, and that's something that I think college football has really been built on. College athletics has really been built on, and it's frustrating to see the fabric of that be ripped away in a lot of ways. And one of the things I even talked about is, I think, let's just talk about Penn State very, very briefly, and I'll get back to the true answer to your question. I think Penn State on the schedule should have some kind of a rotation of Pitt, West Virginia, Syracuse, and Boston College in that order. Those schools should be teams that we play. And I think when you get into having conference members all the way in L.A. and all the way in Piscataway, New Jersey, I think you're definitely getting away from the fabric of that. But the positive to what the Board of Regents did in California yesterday was they got us to a point to where we're not going to have to listen to and watch the foolishness and the mess of this thing going potentially to court. I mean, I don't know what it would have looked like, but we don't need that kind of stuff, because that's where it just gets even worse, and that's where it turns even more people off to college athletics and college football in particular. So the positive to me is that they got something done so that it didn't become this long, drawn-out, unnecessary fight.
Yeah. Well, it was drawn out for a while because they were supposed to make this decision back in September. They were supposed to make it in November. And I just felt like the tax subsidy, which is still a maybe, was their way of getting a, quote, political victory. And I'm not from California, so I don't care about political victories. It doesn't matter to me. I just announce who's in front of me. But it just seemed from 30,000 feet that's what this was about.
No, I agree with you. And just when you think, and I'm pretty sure you're going to ask me about this at some point anyway, but just when you thought that maybe at some point we would be able to get away from some of the politics and college athletics, They go and hire a governor, right, yeah, to come and run college athletics. So there, yeah, you go. But I completely agree with you. Whatever the political ramifications were, I don't like the fact that obviously student athletes are being put in the crosshairs of that and being used as those pawns. And look, we all know that at this point it's athlete, and then the concept of student comes somewhere down the line. But at the end of the day, they're still student athletes, and the idea is that they should not be pawns in the middle of a political game.
So Charlie Baker, who was exiting office, I don't think he was allowed to run again in Massachusetts, I think under their term limits. So he's going to become the president of the NCAA. So what do you think the role – now, the NCAA, to its credit, does a great job of running championships. And people don't like running championships, but they do a great job of running it. And then, of course, there's the enforcement part. Is that about it? You know, and of course, the NCAA basketball tournament. But is that about it for their role right now that he's in charge of?
I think so. And they can make all the suggestions, right, that they want. But the reality is, and this is where I kind of have an issue with it, none of the member institutions, right, because that's one of the things I've talked about ad nauseum, is everybody claims to not like the NCAA, but nobody's rescinding their membership. So there's that. But nobody wants to listen to the rules. They all want to say, well, we need different rules because we're in a different place, right? If you're school A in insert conference here, because your boosters have a little bit deeper of pockets, then you want them to be allowed to be more involved, right? If you're school B, and your, you know, state money can help you better with athletics, then you want that to be allowed to be more involved. Nobody wants it straight line and streamlined because there are inherent advantages and disadvantages at every school. And so they want to be able to placate to those. And that's where the concept of the enforcement aspect of the NCAA and the governing body mindset goes out the window, because the main thing about a governing body is that everybody is essentially agreeing to compromise on a set of rules or on a set of parameters and stick within those. And the thing that I've consistently said over the last few years in particular, when people talk about, oh, the NCAA has no teeth, they have no backbone, they can't. Well, if everybody's going to break the rules and then not cooperate in the process that they agreed should govern their sport or group of sports, then what is the point? That's not on the NCAA. That's on the member institutions and the people that they hire to do what they're supposed to do within the rules. Yes, I do agree that a lot of the rules are antiquated and outdated. I'm not questioning that at all. But again, there are a lot of rules in life that a lot of us don't like, but we follow them because if not, there are ramifications and punishments that come with those.
Name, image, and likeness. There are businesses, now collectives. In the next 3 to 5 years, do you see there's been a big rush, which I think all of us expected that there would be some sort of rush once this broke through a little more than a year ago. Do you see this eventually in the next 3 to 5 years settling a bit?
Yes. It's funny. I've said for a long time, like right at first, people are going to spend money. They're going to throw money at these kids and try. But eventually you figure out it doesn't matter how much money you throw at these kids. It does not mean you're going to win, which is why if you look at the NFL, there is a salary cap. It's not always the team that spends the most money that wins championships, because guess what? They all have a cap. They all have the same amount of money they can spend, and a lot of times the team that spends the most money is not the team that wins, and the team that spends the least amount of money is not the team that loses the most games. It's about assembling a proper team to go out there and be able to do what it is that you want to do. And so I think, while I think it is very important, and I am happy to see that the athletes are able to earn a little bit of money, I've always said this. If you are consistently at autograph signings, and I'm not saying this is a thing now, but the example I've used in the past, right, because I always try to use somebody that I don't want to call a kid out right now, right? So if you look at perhaps a person like a Johnny Manziel, what would have happened if some car dealership would have told him, hey, we've got $25,000 for you to come sign autographs at 3:30 on Tuesday. And Kevin Sumlin's going, well, we start practice at 3:30 on Tuesday. A kid like Johnny Manziel probably would have went to practice, or I'm sorry, went and done the autograph signing, and there would have been people saying that Kevin Sumlin is wrong for benching him because all the kid do is go earn some money. And that's the scary part of where this thing is. But I do think, and I think Troy Dannon said it best, the athletic director down at Tulane, he said it last week at the Intercollegiate Athletics Forum. He said, the pendulum is one way right now. It's going to shift back a little bit towards the middle, right, and it'll settle itself. And I think he was spot on with that.
Yeah, I think what would happen in your Johnny Manziel example is that Manziel would come out looking bad in that example, which is what you can't have. The reason is like, wait a minute, that makes no sense. I mean, even the average fan would be sitting there going, that doesn't make sense. What do you do, to be at the car dealership? And the car dealer would be smart enough to say, hey, what time can you do it?
right.
Because they'd be sitting there going, we don't want to like get in the way of the winning part of it. Because in the end, your brand is usually as good as you winning.
That's right.
That's the other part too, to me, is the branding part of it. What is your brand? And to me, your brand is on the line every single week. And I would fear a coach grading me out exponentially more than I would fear my brand being hurt.
Yes, and you also have to be leery of what you attach, quote, your brand to, right?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
I mean, you got to be careful with that, right? If you've got, you know, a relationship with an organization or a company, and then all of a sudden, you know, someone of stature in that organization or company gets caught doing something unbecoming, you're attached to that.
Yeah.
And well,
look at FTX. Look at FTX. That's right. That's a perfect example of it. You have, you know, LeBron James and Tom Brady and others that attach themselves to FTX. Yeah, and they attach themselves for what they thought were the right reasons to FTX, and now, right now, it's swirling around them.
That's right. And when you get into those situations, it's hard. Now, people like, and here's the thing that's a little bit different, right? Somebody like a LeBron, he can withstand that. He can weather that storm.
Sure.
Somebody like a, you know, you look at a 19-year-old college sophomore.
Yep.
That storm's not as easy to weather. And that's where it becomes a little bit different. You know, LeBron can sort of insulate himself, and all of a sudden here comes a commercial of for three other different products that he's aligned with that are known for positive things, and people sort of forget. A 19-year-old kid who's in an NIL deal with a company like that, and that's the only thing he's attached to, he doesn't have cover, if you will. And when you don't have cover, it makes it a lot more difficult.
I'll give you an example, and I'm not going to name the name, all right? Well-known announcer and had wound down in his career and then took a Major League Baseball job. And a friend of mine had gotten the Major League Baseball job but then was pushed to the studio for said name individual because he near the end of the season, said individual went up to him and he said, "I'm so sorry. I know you were going to do this job." He says, "But I got caught up in the Bernie Madoff deal." And that's right. And that's what some of these guys are looking at, because, you know, even when you are a very small fish, such as me, I always have to weigh whether I should do it or not. And then I'll ask a couple of people, should I do this or not? just to see, because you want to make sure you're attached to the right product.
Absolutely. I mean, that's always something you have to be careful with. And I'll be honest, even for me, as someone doing games the way I do,
yeah,
dealing directly with schools, I have to ask myself, what's the reputation of the coach
yes.
and the athletic department? And if it's negative, I have to really weigh whether or not I want to do those games.
Yeah. See, I don't have that issue. Not even close. I'm with great people and a great name, so I have no problem.
Absolutely correct.
That is not my issue in the least. You know, I got the gold mine on that part of it. The 12-team, the bowl season is going to start. ESPN owns 17 of these bowls, so the bowl system is not going anywhere. How do you view bowl games these days?
I view them as the beginning of the preseason for the following year.
Okay.
When you're talking about an FC at the sort of Power Five, if you will, FBS programs, that's what it is, because a lot of guys opt out because they're getting ready for the draft or whatever the case may be, and that's fine. I'm not saying that they're wrong in doing that. That is their choice. And so at that point, oftentimes, the coach has to look around and say, we need to start spinning forward to next season.
Yeah.
And that's just part of the process. That's part of what it becomes. And I think once people accept that that's what it is in a lot of cases, it'll be easier for them to watch and enjoy those games, right? If people continue to contend that, you know, it's about the guys that are on their way out in their last game and that kind of thing, good luck with that. Because a lot of these guys that are top 5, top 10, top 15 picks, they're being advised to stay off of that field. And the funny thing is, especially with NIL in play now, and this is one of the things that a lot of people forget about, there are still loss of value insurance policies out there.
Yes, there are.
So it's not a money thing, right? It's not about money, but these guys are trying to maximize the opportunity to be on the field as rookies in the National Football League. It's not about just getting drafted. It is about maximizing the amount of snaps that they get in an NFL uniform.
And getting to the second contract.
That's it. And that's the main thing. That second, because ever since they put that rookie wage scale in,
yep.
Now you've got to maximize early so you can get to the second one. And, you know, some people would cite this example. You look at Kyler Murray. He looks like a genius now, even after all that stuff that went down with him in the offseason. Mm-hmm. He's got the contract. He just tore the ACL. He's not a guy going to the end of his rookie deal with no contract in place. On the other hand, here's Lamar Jackson, the second year in a row, he's gotten hurt down the stretch of the season, and he doesn't have a contract for next year.
My friend, always a pleasure. Look forward to speaking next week.
Absolutely. You too, my man. And do me a favor, stay warm up there.
The wood stove is going to be fired up the second I get home.
Awesome.
Thanks, my friend.
Anytime, Steve. You take care.